The reading is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, and is to be found on page 1153 in the Church Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and beginning at verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Patsy. This morning we're finishing up a sermon series on a fit body. As we've looked over the past 5 or 6 weeks at ways that we as a body of Christ, the church, can be fit. And we're ending up with looking at fit for serving, or a serving body. And there's a reason why I'm up here preaching this sermon, and that is because among the many responsibilities that I have here at St. Patrick's, one of them is overseeing acts of service. It's helping those who want to serve God in the church, around the church, to find the right opportunities, the right medium in which they can do that. So that's why I'm up here preaching, even though you usually don't see me up here on a Sunday morning. Usually, we will see our vicar. And I've decided that if I'm going to be a better preacher, I really need to look at our vicar as a model, because he is such a good preacher. And one thing that I've noticed that really helps the sermon is if you start out with an embarrassing story about your wife. So, trying to be as biblical as possible, I'll do that. Now, my wife is an amazing woman, and she's very intelligent, but she can be a bit impulsive. Now, this story happened way back when she was in secondary school. She was probably about 15. She claims she doesn't remember how old. And so she's obviously outgrown this phase of her life. But there was a time when she was in secondary school where she looked around at her classmates who had the unfortunate circumstance of having appendicitis and had an inflamed appendix, had to go to the hospital, had to have it taken out. And then they didn't come back to school for a number of weeks. And so she thought, if I had my appendix out, I wouldn't have to go to school for a few weeks. And so she very cleverly faked the symptoms of appendicitis. And somehow the doctors in Romania went ahead and performed the surgery and removed her very healthy appendix. Now, I know some of you might need a second to let that sink in, so go ahead and do that, because then we actually need to move on to the point behind that. And there's a really, really good biblical point to be made from the story, that one of the reasons why she thought it was a good idea to fake appendicitis in order to have time off from school is that she thought that the appendix served no function. In fact, most people believe that the appendix serves no function. Who here has always learned that? Always learned that the appendix is there for absolutely no reason, doesn't really do anything. Who does know what it's for? Not a whole lot. That's fine. You don't have to answer. It's not a quiz. I'm just curious. So yes, it does have a function, but for literally hundreds of years, scientists, doctors believe that it had no function, that it served absolutely no purpose. But what they've discovered just recently, in 2008, just 6 years ago, researchers at Duke University Medical Center in America, of course, discovered that the appendix does have a function, an important function. It's actually a safe house for beneficial bacteria. And what happens if your body gets really sick? Well, you should know your body has a balance. Well, you hope a good balance of good bacteria fighting off the bad bacteria that somehow get into your body in other ways. But when the bad bacteria take over, your body does what it needs to do, and it flushes all of it out. You can imagine how. After that happens, you would have none of the good bacteria left that does the good job of fighting off the bad bacteria, helping you to digest. Except with the appendix, you have a little storehouse of the good bacteria. So as soon as all the bacteria, good and bad, is eliminated, the good bacteria come out of hiding from your appendix and start doing the job that they're supposed to do so that you can recover and have healthy digestion much quicker. But for hundreds of years, people assumed that it served no purpose. But it does. That God created the appendix for a reason. He put it there exactly where it is for a reason. And even though for hundreds of years, or even thousands of years, we didn't know it was there, we didn't know what it did, it was still there serving that function without us knowing why God had put it there. And what Raluca found after she had this not useless organ taken out is that what she thought was going to be a fun vacation was miserable. She was sick from the anesthetics. She hurt because she'd been cut open and had a piece of her taken out. And she had to go back to school after only 2 weeks. It was not worth it. Now, she had made two crucial mistakes. The first mistake she made is that she assumed that something beneficial was just worthless and disposable. The second mistake she made is that she gave up a part of herself, something that made her complete, something that God had given to her for some fleeting, superficial benefit that ultimately was disappointing. Now, what does that story have to do with a serving body? Well, as Patsy read to us, Paul makes an analogy that we the church are a body. Let's look at verse 20 again. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And all the parts have different functions. He talks about the visible parts, the eye, the ear, the hands, the feet. And that a body needs all of them to function. But it's not just the visible parts that it needs, it's even the ones that are hidden, the ones that we don't know what they do and why they're there. Each of them serves a part. Each of them was put in the body for a very specific reason. But when it comes to seeing ourselves as part of the church body, we make the same mistakes that Raluca made. That we know that we're part of the body. I think everyone has heard that. If you've been to church any amount of time, you've heard that you are part of the body. The church is the body of Christ, and you are a part of it. But many of us just think that we're appendices. We think we have parts like the hands and the feet that are visible. You've got the vicar who's up here every week. You've got the readers, the music team. Those are the ones that everyone sees. But there are hidden parts as well. There's stuff that goes on behind the scenes that no one sees, whether it's preparing tea and coffee, whether it's cleaning, moving chairs. I could go on probably for hours listing all the things that happen. And those things, that parts that are hidden, are just as vital, possibly more vital to the health of the church. But we think of ourselves as appendices. We know we're part of the body, but we think that we must be expendable, that the body wouldn't miss us if we were cut out and thrown away. We don't realize just how vital a role we have to play, and so we remove ourselves from the body. We choose not to serve the church because we don't know what good we could possibly do. We don't know how vital our role is in the church. And that was Raluca's first mistake, remember? She treated something that was vital as if it was disposable. You, every one of you, are a vital part of this church body. You have an important role to play. And just because you might not understand why God's placed you here, you might not understand what role you're meant to play, that doesn't mean you don't have a role to play. That doesn't mean that God did not put you here for a purpose. And that's really, really good news. That every one of us, no matter who we are, we were placed in this church body for a specific reason. If we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's not just that God made us, it's not just that God put us in a church body, but in advance, when he was creating us, he created, prepared works for us to do as part of his church body. And because you were specifically created for a purpose, then when you find that purpose, when you fulfill that purpose, you feel fulfilled and complete in carrying out the role that you were created for. It's too easy to look at acts of service in the church as if we're giving up something. We think of it as sacrifice. And sometimes we make a sacrifice in our mind to do something for the church. Other times we decide, no, I don't want to make that sacrifice. But whether we do the thing or not, if we're thinking of serving God as a sacrifice, we've got it all wrong. Serving God is an amazing gift. Because when we serve God, we are becoming the people that he created us to be. When we fill out the roles that he created for us, we're becoming our true selves. In fact, the ability to serve God, I would compare with a treasure in a field. Jesus gave a really short parable, Matthew 13, chapter 13, verse 44. Here he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had, and he bought that field. Serving God is the same idea, that it is something that is so wonderful that when we discover that we can have it, that it's worth giving up everything else that we thought was precious just like this man in the parable, everything that he thought was important to him became nothing. It became dispensable when he realized that there was something better, the kingdom of God. Likewise, when we realize that all the things that we've chosen for ourselves, all the goals we've set for ourselves, are nothing compared with the goal, the acts that you were specifically created for, then all those things become nothing. And it's easy to set them aside, to give them up, to sell them in order to obtain that treasure that God has created us for. Now we get back to Raluca's second mistake. That she valued something that is fleeting and superficial more than the vital organ which God had given her. And that's what we do all the time. We waste our time, and I definitely include myself in this, waste our time pursuing things of this world, doing things that serve no purpose, that ultimately will pass away. We waste our time doing that, and that always leaves us unfulfilled. Especially when we're doing that instead of pursuing the vital purpose that God created in us, pursuing the things that God specifically created us to do. Now, it really is an amazing thought that Paul's telling us that the Lord of creation, the creator of the cosmos, God, who created this tiniest subatomic particle, he created the vastest reaches of the universe and everything in between. He also created you as you are. And when he created you to serve him in your own unique way. My God created me individually for a purpose. Your God created you individually for a purpose. That is amazing news. And more than that, he didn't just do that individually. He took each of us, individually created by him, and he put us together in this church body so that this church body can serve a purpose as well. And what does Peter say that our purpose is? In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, the Apostle Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. That God created us as a body to serve each other. Now, it is worth saying that the body of Christ is more than the people inside this church. It's more than the people who associate themselves with St. Patrick's. The body of Christ is all believers throughout all the world. But we can also speak of ourselves as a body because this is a group of believers that work together the most, that interact the most, that fellowship the most, that know each other the best. Now, I want to give you a really good example of this church body being fit for service. This church body really working together as a body. And that's in the life of Steve Phillips. Some of you may know who he is, some of you may not. He's been coming to the church, I think, about a year and a half, 2 years now. And he came to the church because his daughter, who's gospel rock age, had started to learn about Jesus in religious studies, and she wanted to know more. And so Steve brought her along to St. Patrick's, and he stayed. And he sat in the service, and he was welcomed here, and he liked the church. He liked what he was hearing. He was moved by the gospel message. He then decided to join the Christianity Explored course to find out more. And through that, he made a commitment to Christ. He joined one of our small home groups, and just last month, he was confirmed in the group of people that was confirmed here. An amazing story. And that is because of not one person, not a couple of people, but dozens of you working together as the body of Christ, making that happen. It started out with Richard Eldridge, who's not here, is he? That Richard works with Steve, and because Richard is simply open about the fact that he's a Christian, open about the fact that he goes to church, when Steve's daughter came to him and said she wanted to go to church, it was natural for Steve to go to Richard and say, well, where do you go? Where do you think I should go? And that's what brought him here. And then the greeters made him and his daughter feel welcome. Who here has worked as a greeter in the church? Do you mind standing up for me? Welcome team. Sorry. And I'll get there. Yeah. if you could stay standing, if you can. Then there was the Gospel Rock team that made the daughter feel welcome and taught her more about the Lord. I assume most of them are out with Gospel Rock right now, but is there anyone here now that has worked with Gospel Rock in the last couple of years? No, that's fine. Then Steve was here in the service, and to run the service takes a lot of people. There are the stewards. Are there any stewards here? Okay, stand up. Duty wardens. Okay, the musicians. People, anyone who's done intercessions in the last 2 years or done readings? Okay. Then we have the people who've done the sound desk. I won't make you stand up if you need to be monitoring my sound. And then in the coffee hour, because one thing that really kept Steve or connected him was being in there. Most weeks he came, he went in there, and he talked with people, and he felt very welcome. And that happens because people take the time to prepare the coffee and the biscuits and the tea. Who's done that? If you could stand up. And if you know who Steve is, and if you've spoken with him at any point since he's come to church in coffee time, could you please stand up? Okay. He decided to join the Christianity Explored course, which was run by Roz and Rachel. Rachel? And Andrew Drummond, Jill Garner, I don't think either of them are here, and myself. And then after that, he joined a home group with Jenny Horton and Irene Mandry. Is there anyone here who's in Steve's home group? I think they're all standing. Right. But look around you. Every person that's standing had a direct influence on Steve coming to this church, staying with the church, and making a lifelong, an eternal commitment to Christ. That's amazing. That is such a good story. You can sit down. That is an amazing blessing to Steve and to us. And that is this body serving others. This body accomplishing something for God's kingdom. And that's just one man and his daughter. That's not even talking about the effect it's had on the rest of his family and on other people. But even though there were obviously a lot of people involved in Steve's journey, and by the way, he had my permission to tell his story, as did Raluca, by the way, just for the record. Even though we had all these people, that doesn't mean that those sitting down can assume that you wouldn't have a part to play in someone else's story. Just like anybody, it's constantly growing. Cells are replaced. As some people stand down from certain jobs, other people need to take them up again. But what part of the body are you? What purpose did God create you for? Now, that's a really, really big question, and it's not one that I can answer for each of you from up here. But it is a question that I hope that you want to find an answer to. And we, the leadership of the church, are committed to helping you to find that answer. As I said, that's one of my many jobs here, is dealing directly with that, with service, finding ways that you can serve God. If that's what you want to do and you're not certain how to do it, you can talk to me. But also, over the next few weeks, as a whole church, we want to look more closely at what it means to be a serving body. And we can't do that in a normal service. We want to do that doing a special small group course during Lent. So starting in either the week of the 3rd of March or the 10th of March, depending on the group, each of the small groups that meet in people's homes is going to do a 3-week course about service in the church, about identifying what it is, about identifying who does it, about getting excited about it. And we want you, all of you, to be a part of that. So if you are not in a home group right now, what you can do is you can join a group just for the period of Lent, just for those 3 weeks that whatever group you join meets. And afterwards, there's not going to be any pressure to stay on if you decide that you don't want to. Obviously, if you decide that you like it, you can stay on. But we really would like you to be a part of that conversation that we have as a whole church during the period of Lent. So if you are in a group, make certain you go to your group during Lent. If you're in a group but you haven't really turned up, please try to go during that service to be part of the conversation. And if you simply are not attached to any group, then there is a sign-up sheet on the welcome table. Please put your name down. Please tell us when you could meet, and I'll contact you about what the best group might be to join temporarily. That's one thing. And I think it's important to know, when we were talking about Steve, I asked the people that were in the courses that he did to stand up, because they were a very, very important part of his journey. That it's not just the leaders, it's the people that came along beside him. It's the same thing. It could be that you don't really jump for joy at the idea of joining a small group, even for 3 weeks. So I'd ask you to think of it as an act of service, as a way of giving something to the other people that will be with you in that group for the 3 weeks. The other thing that I'll ask you to do is each of you should have one of these in your notice sheet. If you don't, there's extras in the back. This form can help you to identify ways in which God has uniquely prepared you to serve in the church body. Now, basically what it is, there's a page in the front that tells you why we've done it, but then you have 3 pages listing skills, abilities, passions that we can use here in St. Patrick's to serve God. It's not a list of jobs. You're not going to find that something, you know, we need leaders at 4:40, we need people to set up tables at lunch club. It's simply the types of things that you may already do, be interested in, have a passion for. And what I would ask you to do is to go through it, even if you have no intention of showing it to anyone else or turning it in, just for your own benefit, read through it and put a check next to each thing that is true about you and see how many different ways God can use you. See that you're not a useless appendage, but that you have real vital work that you could do in the church or around the church, because not all service is in the church. Richard, for example, in simply being bold enough to say that he was a Christian and talk about where he went to church, was serving Steve in the workplace. Now, I spelled it out on the front, but I'll go through quickly. As I said, please, please fill them out. And then if you choose to share it with us, then you can put them in the offering box as a way to show what are your passions and skills that you can then offer to God. Even if you already serve in the church, I would encourage you to do it, because you might be surprised at what some of the other things are that you could contribute, or what you could be contributing instead of what you're currently doing. And I can guarantee that these are not going to be distributed to all the leaders of ministries and activities, because I know that if that were to happen, you could get 20 phone calls in 1 week. That these are simply going to be looked at by David and myself, and we'll contact you to acknowledge that we've received them. But then after that, what we'll do is we'll hang on to them. And if an opportunity arises that we think would match your personal, individual mix of skills and passions, then one of us will talk to you, tell you that that opportunity exists, without passing your name on to anyone else. And only then, if you say that you would like to pursue that, then we would talk to the leader of that particular ministry. So putting your name on here, handing it in, is not going to mean you're going to be inundated with tons of requests. It'll only be David, myself, offering you opportunities when the right time arises. And even when that happens, there is absolutely no obligation to follow through, to do it, to accept it. You could simply say, no, it's not the right thing for me, it's not the right time, but thank you. So my challenge is to you, fill this out, at least fill it out, and then if you are willing to, hand it in as well in the offering boxes. And then also to go to one of the home groups during Lent. Join in the conversation where we talk more about what service is, what it means to be a fit body, a body fit for service. That serving God through the body of the church is an amazing opportunity for us to become the people that God created us to be. Don't miss out on that. We can pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you've created every single one of us. You've created us individually with our own gifts, with our own passions, with our own skills, even with our own limitations. And with all of that, you want to use us. You created us to do things within your church body, to serve each other. And we thank you that you've done that. We thank you that by doing that, by doing those things that you've created us to do, that we become more fulfilled, that we become more the people that you created us to be. We become more who we truly are. We thank you for this wonderful body that of believers that we are a part of, and that we are blessed to worship you and fellowship together with. We thank you and we praise you now and always. Amen.